Today's show is brought to you in part by Audible. Please visit audiblepodcast.com/storyworthy for your free audiobook download. Today's episode of Storyworthy is brought to you in part by Beso.com. Beso is a shopping ideas and style inspiration site that allows you to shop for tens of millions of products from thousands of stores and brands. Beso.com.
Hi, this is Allie Gertz, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to the Story Worthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Story Worthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from the Richard and Karen Carpenter Performing Arts Center at Cal State Long Beach.
What is happening? Why are we coming from there?
Well, our guest is from Long Beach.
Oh.
And very recently, I went to see a production of Oklahoma.
I'm sorry.
At the Karen Carpenter Center. You know, it's funny. I remember I told you, I was like excited in the email, like, we've got free tickets to see Oklahoma and Long Beach. And you wrote back, that sounds like a fucking nightmare.
Because it was also the date of the Oscars. And I'm thinking, you're going to go listen to Suri with the Fringe on Top while Seth MacFarlane hosts the Oscars?
It turned out he sang Sorry with a Fringe on Top, except that he added all sorts of sexist stuff in the middle. But no, but we changed it and we did go. But no, yeah, it's funny because your reaction was exactly like when you say to me, I'm going camping. And I'm like, that sounds like a fucking nightmare. It's all, you know. So that's why it's a beautiful theater. If you've ever been there, seriously, awesome. The Carpenter family paid for it. And if you're in Long Beach, that's where you should go.
You know, it's funny, real quick. When you mention Karen Carpenter, I always think of my dad. Because when anybody ever mentions Karen Carpenter or the Carpenters or he hears a song, my dad always goes into this melancholy, this faraway look comes to his eyes and he says, she had such a beautiful voice. Like, he's still completely affected by her death.
I totally. Well, he should definitely go because there's a whole display in the lobby there. No, she did. But she did because she's one of those people that you're like, I'm sure at the time they were like, oh, you know, she's not cool and she wasn't hip and everything. I mean, she was successful, but I'm sure the cool people. And now you listen to it and you're like, holy shit, that's good.
Well, you know,
it's like ABBA. You're like, ABBA's stupid, ABBA's moronic. And then a song comes out. You're like, this is fucking awesome.
Wow, honest, those are big words, man. I have not heard an ABBA reference out of you before.
Well, I'm just saying.
You are my favorite dancing queen. You know that.
Thank you.
All right, tonight's guest is Allie Gertz.
You are my
Gertz.
Waterloo.
Thank you. Allie Gertz, she's the guest tonight. And actually, I'll tell you something, Hannes. She has a voice like an angel. You talk about Karen Carpenter. This girl has one of these.
She's better than Karen Carpenter?
She is.
These are big words. Wow, look at her. She's like, she's shaking her fist in the air like, fuck yeah. Fuck Karen Carpenter.
Allie
That's what she
Gertz,
said.
She is a very talented singer-songwriter. And it's true, when she opens her mouth, this is just like a kind of a perfect blend of notes come out. I don't know. She reminds me a little bit of Lisa Loeb, and she probably gets that because of the glasses and the long dark hair. But then she has a little bit of a Natalie Merchant quality going on because her voice is just strong and out there. And then a little bit of the Nora Jones. There, I said it.
Wow, that's a lot of little bits.
Yeah, that's a lot to live up to.
You're like built a Frankenstein. She's like a Frankenstein. You've taken like the voice box of Nora Jones and the arms of Lisa Loeb, and you've created a. So your father. This is the one podcast he should actually listen to because he never listens. Nobody in your family.
Who, my
listens.
Father? Yeah. No, my father, he doesn't even know what this, he thinks it's called Story World, Hannes. It doesn't
exactly.
matter. Allie Gertz, you guys, she's here right now. And boy, what a delight. I'm really happy that she came. Her topic tonight is 21st birthday. So, ooh. I mean, that's what I thought we were going to lead with, Hannes, about a 21st birthday.
Yeah, but then I couldn't think of an actual place. I mean, we couldn't get permission. Of course, we're here in our mobile van.
Right, it's story where the van
Long
of
Beach.
Truth.
You know, the van of truth, exactly.
What did
we
you
didn't
do?
Have to take the plane of truth because it's only in Long Beach.
What did you do on your 21st birthday, Hannes?
Nothing in particular because when I turned 18 in Wisconsin, 18 was the drinking age.
Oh.
So on my 18th birthday, and to show you how incredibly uncool I was, I know, shocking. We went to a bar on the east side of Milwaukee called Judge Jason Downer. It was on Downer Avenue, which was a street with a lot of restaurants and stuff. I know. Now, I didn't hear that until I left. I was like, Downer Avenue? That was our main drag? And it was named after this judge. And and I ordered, I'm pretty sure, like a tequila sunrise. And I had like my temporary driver's license without my picture on it and some other thing to identify how old I was.
So you were like grandfathered in at that time?
No, I was 18
it
years
was a
old
straight 18.
That day.
That was it.
And that was it. Yeah. And then they, I had that. And of course I was like, hey, and I couldn't even fucking finish it because I'm a complete lightweight.
Yeah.
And it was, I was never a drinker.
Sunrise is like a wedding drink. You know, it's like an amaretto sour or something. Like, who gets a tequila sunrise? What is that?
A guy who doesn't fucking, a guy who's 18 and hasn't actually drunk anything.
Right. I get it. Okay. 21st birthday. There's a lot of pressure on the 21st birthday, isn't there?
Like I said, by the time I was 21, there was nothing to celebrate. We didn't.
Not you, Hannes.
Look, I'm a freak of nature.
Let's say one.
Most people have a lot of pressure on the 21st.
21st birthday is a lot of pressure. The 30th birthday seems to be important. The 40th, the 50th. My 21st birthday, I was in Aspen, and I was skiing, which was great. And my boyfriend, he was turning 25 like 2 days later. So I was 21. He was 25.
And he got a 78-year-old and pregnant. Wait, did I get this mixed up?
It's so funny because I thought then, like, I was 21, he was 25. I thought, like, you know, like, this is it, man. I mean, we are, you know, like, this is it. We're like the couple and we're both really cool. We're in Colorado. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I thought it was so, I put so much emphasis on that day and that time. The point is that I was just, it was a great day.
Yeah.
But 21,
and
you know.
You thought you were entering adulthood.
That's what I mean.
When
10
you were
years
barely
later,
exiting.
20 years yeah. later. Yeah. I mean, it's like there's so much importance at the moment, but you realize like 21, you're a baby.
Yeah.
You didn't even have your period. 5 years ago. You know what I mean? Well, maybe you did, Hannes.
Well, I don't know. It's like, yeah, but this is the thing about 18 is like why they were like realized they were giving people the ability to be locked into decisions they made when they were 18.
Yeah.
Legally, it's like, no, this is a bad idea.
It's a bad idea. Yeah. But if you can fight for our country, then why not drink?
Well, right. Why don't we? Exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot to talk about. But
wait. What about your 21st birthday? What happened that day?
I went skiing. I told you I skied Ajax Mountain in Aspen. That's what I did on my 21st birthday. It was a good day.
Wow, Ajax Mountain.
Yeah, and then
it's a clean mountain.
And then we played poker that night, and I remember they got a cake from a bakery cake, and they had all miniatures all over the cake. Ha, ah, isn't that cute? Like miniature liquor bottles. Get it? Eat cake, drink alcohol.
I don't know. I'm feeling pretty cool about my Judge Jason Downer tequila sunrise right now.
Aspen, come on, Hannes, come on. Hey, Hannes, before we bring on our storyteller, I wanted to tell you a little bit about one of our sponsors, Audible. You know, Audible is the internet's leading provider of spoken audio entertainment.
Audible has over 100,000 titles to choose from. Every genre, Audible has got it covered.
And right now, folks, you can get a free audiobook download courtesy of Storyworthy when you sign up for a free trial today. For instance, I recently listened to Samantha Bee reading her book, I Know I Am, But What Are You? It was hilarious.
Yeah, and I listen to my favorite author, Raymond Chandler, Trouble Is My Business, read by Elliot Gould.
That is so you.
It is.
All right, you guys, get a free audiobook download when you sign up for a free trial today.
Go to audiblepodcast.com/storyworthy to get your free audiobook.
All right, you guys, stay tuned wherever you are because Allie Gertz is on her way here.
Hi, this is James Urbaniak. You're on the internet, and you're listening to the Storyworthy Podcast.
Storyworthy tweets. So join us on Twitter and be our friend on Facebook.
We're back. We're still at the Karen Carpenter Center. We've looked at all the gold records and the gold cassettes. Now, cassettes, kids, are never mind. I won't bother to explain.
Karen Carpenter, Hannes, you know, she was a beautiful girl.
Yeah, her voice was like an angel. Makes your father hard.
Oh, that is... Okay.
Oh.
You're crossing a line.
Your father crossed the line.
Ladies and gentlemen.
6 inches in front of him. Too much?
Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, hey, Hannes, before we get to our storyteller, I wanted to tell you a little bit about one of our sponsors, Beso.com.
Tell me about it.
Well, Beso.com is a site that is devoted to shopping. Now, they don't actually sell anything. They just organize everything you would ever want in one place so that you can compare pieces and prices.
You mean like clothes and shoes and gifts and that
kind
of thing?
Exactly.
So I don't have to wander around the mall like some kind of maniac. That's awesome. But how do they know what I want?
Well, what you do is you put in your own style persona. Oh. So it could be like classic or preppy, bohemian, romantic feminine.
That's me. Romantic feminine.
And then basically they act as your personal shopper.
That is awesome. How do you spell this site?
Beso.com. BESO.com. You guys are going to love it.
Beso.com.
All right, right now, you guys, Allison Gertz is here. You can call her Allie. She is an incredibly talented singer-songwriter who tends to write songs about random things like Dungeons and Dragons and random people like Dimitri Martin. Her music is original and it is clever, and you can find Allison's songs on her YouTube channel, and you can follow her on Twitter at Cosby Sweater. Cosby Sweater has two S's. That's what I want you to know. Has two S's.
Okay.
All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Allie Gertz.
So I recently just turned 22. My birthday is March 2nd, and I'm the kind of person that really likes to go all out for their birthday. And for my 21st birthday, I had a lot of things planned, like too many things planned, not terribly exciting. I wanted to go to West Elm and see a show at the Largo and maybe eat some chili. But my friends decided to plan a whole bar hopping experience for me. And I had never been drinking before. And even if the drinking age is 21, which it is in California, by the time people reach 21, most people have already had alcohol in their system, and I have not. So I really did not know what the effect would have on me. And had I probably wouldn't have planned so many things for the whole night. The first part was going to be really simple. It was just going to go to dinner with my family and close friends, and I was warned by all of them, stick to the same alcohol all night. Just do vodka cranberries or something light. You don't want to mix. You don't want to do anything. And I said, yeah, okay, that's a great idea. And I'm sticking to that for about an hour. I've had maybe two drinks. And then this just loud friend that I didn't even invite, this is just supposed to be family, comes in and she yells, shots. And she starts giving me all of these different shots. And I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. And by hour two, I am already a mess. And I'm falling in front of my family. I'm telling them how attractive they all are. And it's just, it's becoming a little weird, but a lot of fun. My friends who have planned the rest of the night are saying, you know, we should probably get going to the actual drinking party of your birthday. Let's not waste it all on mom. And we pile up the car. We have about 20 people meeting me there. And we go to Beauty Bar in LA. And it is, if you've not been, it is a dive bar. It gets a very eclectic group of people and very fun, even if you're not drunk. However, I was. So it was particularly fun for me. Every single person that I invited wanted to give me their favorite shot, and 20 shots seems like a sweet gesture, but it's alcohol poisoning, and I don't really trust those friends anymore. They did not have my well-being in hand. Needless to say, I got very, very drunk, and I think it's a nice day when you learn what kind of drunk you are, and turns out that I'm the person who's just really loving and sweet, and I really want to be everyone's best friend and tell them how great they are. And then I hit a wall, and then I just start weeping, and I get to be so, so sad. It's, I mean, demons I didn't know existed. I think I'm living through someone else. That's how sad I am. And so the first room, Beauty Bar, I'm having a great time. We get to Burgundy Room, and I just start weeping on all of my friends, and I'm saying, you're so beautiful, am I beautiful? And they're just like, I don't know what to do, what do we do here? And I'm just drinking water, and I fall asleep on two of my friends, and I keep saying, like, please tell me that I'm pretty. And it's so sad. And I was, all of my friends were so confused. And, you know, they were just like, you know, maybe let's not go to the three bars we had planned after this. I think maybe you've had enough. And we start to walk to the hotel. Needless to say, I'd had enough to drink. And I'm stumbling. I am just your typical drunk 21-year-old, and I'm laughing at everyone on the street and insulting people, but not even good insults. And like, Napoleon Dynamite over here, am I right, guys? And it was like a woman. And, you know, I think I'm more funny than I do in real life, and it's just awful. And we get to the car. It's, at this point, it's my then-boyfriend and my two closest friends, and they're driving me to the Roosevelt. And they say, okay, Allison, you know, they're being very nurturing and kind. Okay, Allison, it's time to go and get you into bed now. And I say, okay, I'm going to throw up first. And they open the car door and I just start throwing up right in front of the Roosevelt. There's that little bar in front of the Roosevelt where all the really trendy LA people are. And they're really grossed out by me. There's one woman who full-on scoffs and just disgusted. And everyone's kind of just like, what a pathetic loser. My friend says to them, it's her 21st birthday. And everyone erupts into cheers, so excited, like, oh, 21, that's awesome. So that's also very sweet, but also very encouraging of a horrible habit. They're just like, 21, all right, keep going for the rest of your life. And it was a little troubling. I, at this point of the story, this is all things that have been repeated. I don't remember any of it, but I was not well enough to walk. I have my two friends carrying me into the hotel room, and I say, can you drag me? And they're just like, we're not going to drag you. This is a very respectable hotel. We're not going to do that. You have legs. Use them. I decide I'm not going to use my legs. And I just fall to the ground. And they are dragging me in through the hotel lobby, being dragged for 2 minutes. And then I say, this hurts. Why are you doing this to me? So I'm not only insistent upon it, but very whiny once they do. So I'm just intolerable. And I can't believe that I'm still friends with the people that were celebrating my birthday, because I was wretched. But I finally get into the hotel room, and it's beautiful. And I feel so bad that anyone would have paid to have me in their hotel room, because I destroyed it. I just started vomiting the instant I got in there. And then I went to sleep. I believe it was a very restful slumber. It was probably the best I've ever slept in my life. And I wake up and I feel so good and refreshed. And I think, I'm the one person that is unaffected by alcohol. I somehow have this gift. I won't tell anybody about it, because I don't want them to test me. You know, this is just for me to know. And I order some food and I'm feeling really good. And as soon as the food arrives, I can't stop vomiting, and I probably throw up 5 times. And we've already set the leave time, you know, for 2 hours later. We've had to pay like $50 more so I could just keep using their facility to throw up. And eventually, my then boyfriend's saying, we need to go. I do not have this kind of money for you to be throwing up. I don't mind if you throw up in the car, but we can't do it here. And we get to the lobby. I'm sitting on their beautiful fountain, looking at all the very handsome and beautiful patrons of this hotel and being very envious. And I am thinking, they're not throwing up. How come I'm throwing up? It's my birthday. Just being very whiny and pouty. And from my boyfriend, his point of view, he sees me realize I have to throw up, and I go into the bathroom. What I didn't see, but he did, were these two charming old women come out disgusted, like, well, I never, just disgusted by me, because I had to go in and throw up in the sink. And so I am just ruining the Roosevelt's reputation. People must have said, don't, like, the Yelp reviews are probably just like, don't go there. Like, girls throw up in there all the time, and that's thanks to me. And after just a whole morning of just being so sick, you know, I'm already so tired, and it doesn't seem like West Elm is going to happen, which is really heartbreaking for a 21-year-old. I decide to take a nap by the pool, and I'm really grungy. I've been sick all morning. Everyone by the pool is stunning, and they have their hair done, and their makeup is perfect, and all the men look like models, and no one's in the pool, because I don't want to ruin all of that, and I'm just so venomous towards them because of this. But I take a nap, and I sleep for about 2 hours, and I feel, okay, I've gotten everything out of me. My birthday is maybe not going exactly how I planned, but now I could get back on track. And I stand up. I feel pretty good. I'm walking by. Oh, there's Colin Farrell. And I think, that's really cool. My favorite movie is in Bruges. Maybe I should go talk to him, because I'm so excited. You know, I don't go to LA too much, and I'm just like, a celebrity. Oh, my God. And I'm walking over to him, and I realize I'm about to throw up again. And there is no... Well, there's no trash can in the pool, and there's no trash can right in front of me. I didn't bring it with me. And so I'm about 5 feet away from Colin Farrell, who's looking as Colin Farrell as ever. And I throw up, standing up right in front of him. And he looks at me a little jolted, a little, did you just throw up in front of me? And I nodded with my vomit covering my body. And that's how I spent my 21st birthday.
Wow. That's a classic 21st birthday story.
We all have to throw up in front of Colin Farrell once.
Yeah, but Colin Farrell's Irish and I think an alcoholic, so he really ought to be used to people vomiting in front of him. You go to Ireland and pub crawling, it's just people blurching all over the place.
Now, can I ask you, how many years ago was this, Allie?
It was just last year, right?
By the way that I would By the way, I'm telling it, I seem so wise and mature. This was last year. This was 1 year ago.
That is just amazing.
Have you drunk to that extent since then?
Oh, no, not to that extent. I don't think I could without dying. Like I said, I had like 20 different shots.
Well, it's true. There's a, you know, it's called the blood alcohol limit because it's like how much blood is in your body, Hannes?
Yes.
2 gallons? 4 gallons? What are we talking about? 1 gallon.
85 gallons? I don't know. Do you want me to look it up?
How much blood is in your body?
I think it's all about the percentages. I don't know how much blood there is.
It's not that much. Like, if you were to drain somebody of their blood, I think it's about 1 gallon, 2 gallons. How much is it? Joe's looking at me like crazy.
All right, fine. Here I go. I'm Wikipediaing. How much blood is in the human body?
If you all of a sudden then drink 12 beers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's say 5. You're saying 5 gallons, Jorge? 5 gallons of blood, 6 gallons of blood. But if you drink 3 gallons of beer or 1 gallon of vodka,
this is
a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Very much.
Do you think you'll repeat this, Allie?
Oh, no. And
yes, I will.
Here's what's up. I do drink a lot of beer. I'm a beer enthusiast. But.
That's not drinking.
That's not drinking.
Look, in Milwaukee, there are 3 taps, hot, cold, and beer.
Right. Exactly. No, but I have not had any vodka since my birthday or any kind of hard liquor.
Right.
So beer, like nobody's business,
hard liquor
cannot do.
But you can get drunk, obviously.
And do.
And but, sick on beer, though. I've not
been hungover since then.
High five.
Yeah.
6 quarts, by the way. 6 quarts of...
So six quarts is a gallon and a half.
Yeah, exactly. A quart is a quarter of a gallon, right?
Thank you,
the gallon
Christine.
And a half.
Thank you.
Good job.
Hello, a gallon
it actually,
and a half
first of all,
of
has
blood.
Liters. And I'm like, you fucking Europeans. I don't want to know how many liters of blood there are. I'm sorry. Let's get back to you.
Well, it is interesting, Allie, that you've vomited just that much because you're a very small person and that seems like
I think you seem like a small girl, so 20 shots really
and
you know what, it's always like, first of all, that's what I was afraid of, and I'm such a wuss. You at mm-hmm. least were able to have the story. I had one tequila sunrise and collapsed.
You are such a pussy. You were like at a wedding reception with an Amaretto sour, and then you know you had to take
and
out
I'm
the
like,
garter
Woo!
Belt.
Well, do you remember that time I had the wisdom tooth out and they gave me 3 Vicodin because they were like, "Well, you're fat, you're gonna need 3 Vicodin." And I come out. Christine drove me, and somebody's gonna drive me. I come out, and I'm like, "You guys are great. You're so awesome." I was high as a fucking kite.
Well, listen, I am refreshed to know the 21-year-old still. Party on their 21st birthday the way we did. I mean, the way I did anyway.
Yeah.
So
snowboarding.
That's
skiing.
Right. I was skiing. I'm old. I was skiing. In fact, that time, Allie, they weren't even parabolical skis. They were like long ass, hot pink atomic arcs. There were like 201s, man. It was like,
and don't know what the fuck anybody's talking about.
Now. All right. Let me ask you this. The Roosevelt Hotel is very fancy. Who told you to go there?
My boyfriend at the time planned out the whole evening, and that was where he made
it. How about other friends of yours?
You having some sort of romantic encounter at the Roosevelt, which is spoiled by your constant vomiting.
You know, the vomiting might have been in the plans. He's a very thorough planner.
Wow, okay.
It's very possible.
Right. I do like the idea of spending the day at West Elm. That's a big...
Oh, God. I love interior design.
I love West Elm. How about design within reach?
Oh, my God.
There's nothing within reach.
Oh, it sounds like
design.
A fucking nightmare. And you know what I don't want to do? I don't want to go camping, and then during the day, leave the tent and go to West Elm. This is the worst day of my life.
Hannes
right there.
Is just confusing many of my favorite things. He's putting them all together. I don't know what's...
I'm saying that it could happen.
All right. Allie Gertz, you are such a talent, and you have 2 big things happening that I wanted to talk about. Number one, May 4th, your album drops. The name of the album is?
Cosby Sweater.
Cosby Sweater, which is
right
just
there.
Like your Twitter feed at Cosby
Sweater.
I
love
right.
that she is young and yet is referencing Bill Cosby Sweater.
Yeah, so
I enjoy that.
Where do you come up with Cosby Sweater? What is that all
it
about?
Is two things. Bill Cosby, of course. Mm-hmm. But my favorite movie is High Fidelity. And in High Fidelity, Jack Black makes fun of a character for having a particularly ugly sweater,
saying
it's a Cosby sweater. And that's why there are 2 S's.
Because you got the Cos part in there. I like it.
So it's a mixture.
I see. Okay. And
by the way, you gave me that book, or you gave me another book by that same author.
Oh, Nick Hornby.
Nick Hornby.
He's a great author.
He sure is.
And that book takes place in London, right? And they just made it to Chicago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because he is from London.
How many songs are on your new album?
We recorded 14 songs, so at most 14, but we're probably going to do about 12. We'll see.
And most of your inspiration comes from, I mean, it seems like your songs are so cute and quirky.
Yeah, your songs about comedians and hobbits and stuff.
Right. Well, for me, I mean, there are definitely a lot of comedic songwriters that I admire, but I wouldn't really put myself in the comedy realm. I write songs about funny or weird things very seriously, like the way that you would about a breakup or
right.
something.
In other words, you remind me, yeah, no, you're not writing as a jokester. You're not writing.
All.
No, no, you're not a comedian guitar player, God
not
forbid.
At all.
No, no, no. No, but you remind me a little more like of a Bare Naked Ladies kind of a that sensibility where it's smart.
Thanks.
It's smart.
Thank you.
And it's very clever. The other thing you have coming up, which I'm so happy about for you, is you have a small role on Arrested Development
nice.
In the episode titled Cinco de Corte.
Cinco de Cuatro.
Cinco de Cuatro. And that's going to be coming out on May 4th also. So everything's
right.
happening on May 4th.
Yes. I did plan my album. I did not plan the rest of development come out May 4th. But yes, May 4th is also Star Wars Day. That's why I thought it'd be fun to do that because I'm writing a Star Wars song.
Are you a Star Wars fan then?
I am. I don't know the minutiae as well as other people, but I definitely
Were you always a Star Wars fan?
Oh yeah. My dad is a younger dad and I was spoon-fed all of my tastes. So everything my dad likes, I like. So
Isn't
I'm kind of an extension.
Funny.
Wait, I'm sorry. I thought we have glossed right over the fact that Joe, our super nerd, and you both know what Star Wars Day is, and none of us have any idea what the hell you're talking about. What
Slepsky.
Is Star Wars Day?
May the 4th be with you. It is as simple as that. May 4th sounds
All right,
like...
good night.
Yep.
I love it. And then after that is Cinco de Mayo, and so mm-hmm. you just... And there goes Hannes Finney, ladies and
right.
gentlemen. Hannes Finney. And
May the 4th be with you. I'm not going to get over this for weeks.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, Allie, do you have any brothers and sisters, by the way?
I have two sisters that are older than I am.
They're older than mm-hmm. you. And so are they also musically inclined?
Well, they'll hum, but they are not. They're not musicians.
When did you get your first guitar?
Well, I would say my dad's guitar was my first guitar. He always had instruments. He's a guitarist. He plays piano and drums. And so where other kids were like, you have to do piano lessons every day, my parents were just like, if you want to play, you can. And so I kind of just have been playing his stuff since I was a little kid and was never really forced to do it or, I mean, encouraged,
your dad's a pro?
I would say.
He's a professional musician?
Yeah, he's very talented. And I got my first guitar, like my actual guitar, when I was probably 15.
He must be very proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
That's just wonderful. Your
Thanks.
Parents, do they come and see your live shows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when it's not too late. I don't do too many shows yet, but I'm starting to do a lot more soon. But
you are up and coming. That's what they call it.
Oh, thank you.
Up and coming and exciting. We just have to keep you away from the Roosevelt Hotel and
right.
alcoholics.
I don't think they want me back, actually.
Yeah, well, we don't need you in that
banned.
Situation.
That's how you know you're somebody in Hollywood when you've been banned from the Roosevelt Hotel. Mm-hmm.
All right,
you
hey,
and Lindsay Lohan.
Mm-hmm. You know
awesome.
What? Two things I want to do with you. I wanted to play a little Shotgun Storyworthy, but I also thought maybe you could play a little song on the piano for us.
Oh, I would love that.
What would you like to do first?
Let's do this Storyworthy.
Shotgun Storyworthy?
Shotgun.
Okay.
Yes.
That music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game show where contestants spin the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth. And tell a true one-minute story on the topic they land.
So everyone, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
Okay, so I got pets, and I guess my story about pets is how I got my two cats, which are named Faraday and Ginsburg. And I'd been begging my boyfriend at the time to get pets with me. And he kept saying, no way. There's no way in hell that we're ever going to have a cat. We're not allowed to have them. He and I were at dinner, and I got a text from someone saying, I have two kittens. Do you want them? My boyfriend said no, and I showed him the pictures, and he said, well, they are kind of cute. The place was right across the street from where we happened to be at that moment. And so we went over, and they were the last two kittens left, and they were just the cutest cats in the entire world, and there were two of them. And so instead of getting zero cats, we got two cats, and that's all I have to say about pets.
All right. That is how you play Shotgun Storyworthy. Did you see that, Hannes?
I did.
She takes the title.
Right.
She goes right to pets, her own.
Right.
She tells the story.
Right. We have a secondary character, the former boyfriend.
There was a
and
beginning.
And there's a plot conflict.
A middle.
He doesn't want cats.
And an end. Meow.
Right.
God, you're good.
Lots of blushing that's off camera right now.
All right. Let's hear a song on the piano.
Yeah, I would love that.
Dear Allison, won't you hold on to your virtues, but not get caught up in your head? Did you know that it's okay for people to like different things? What will it matter when you're dead? That you like what you do. When people ask who's got the best taste, you say you. It's time to put that to rest. Don't forget the subjectivity of best. You can have a friend who likes watching Friends without thinking they're a bad person. I know that you're leery of people who watch Big Bang Theory, 'cause you think there's no show worse than that. But you can't change what people like. If your mom likes Glee, don't put up a fight. You can still be opinionated without making your friends feel so alienated. Just stop telling them that they're wrong for listening to their favorite song. If they don't know what in Bruges is, or prefer the Three Stooges to Chico, Harpo, and Groucho Marx. If they don't like Django Reinhardt or Dimitri Martin's pie charts, try and spare them your snide remarks. You can like the girls who don't like Dunham's girls without calling them all morons. Some friends don't like RPGs or get the reference covered in bees. Some people never, ever, ever see Red Dawn. But you can't change what people like. If your mom likes Two and a Half Men, try and be polite. You can still be opinionated without making your friends feel so alienated. Just stop telling them that they're wrong for listening to their favorite song. Your friend shouldn't be berated for calling the Beatles overrated, no matter how much you disagree. But if you put on Seinfeld and they don't laugh, say something hurtful and never take it back. Sincerely me.
I have to say, that is so much insight for such a young girl.
Thank you very much.
That was awesome. And by the way, the last line, finally a song I can get behind, where it's like, yeah, Seinfeld, if you don't laugh at Seinfeld, you can go straight to hell.
Yeah, no, I think
she said
I
it much nicer
that.
Than me.
No, I agree with that. But what I'm saying is that song, and it's a sweet little simple song, but it really has a lot behind it. I mean, have you felt like you've been critical to friends?
All my life. Yeah. I mean, the way that I was raised by my dad was I was allowed to watch any kind of rated material. It could be R, it could be, you know, whatever, if it was good. I wasn't allowed to watch Saved by the Bell. I wasn't allowed to watch any kind of not good television.
Well, you watched Charles in Charge.
I watched every show.
She might
that
be
was,
a little young for Charles and Charles.
I'm just saying about the Marx Brothers. But yeah. I was not allowed to watch shows that he thought were unfunny. So I was always raised like quality is the most
that
important thing in the world.
I think that is so smart.
Except it makes you alienate all of the people in your life.
So, and for instance, the name of that song is The Elitist.
Yeah, well, the song is called Open Letter to Myself. In parentheses, it says elitism. And I've recently realized how many friends I have made feel horrible because they don't like really good movies. And then I realized, you know, well, really good is subjective and it's hard because I still maintain, well, my taste is great.
It is better.
But who am I to say that it is? And it's hard to say. It's something that I struggle with because I do want to say I've got the best taste in everything and your taste is not that great. Here, let me help you out and show you good movies.
Right.
But you can't do that without seeming like a huge jerk.
Yeah, here, let me help you out. It's never said
that. There's no altruism in showing people, like, here's what you've been missing out on.
I hear what you're saying, but are you saying you can't judge other people? You can judge other people.
I think the point of the song is, can you be a fan of your own stuff and think that your taste is great and think that other people have less good taste without being a jerk about it?
I think
it?
The most important line is where you said, if your mother likes Two and a Half Men, just be polite.
Yeah.
And that is just be polite and don't make
people. My one sister loved the movie Twister. Can I let that go? I just let that go.
You have to let that go. because that's not the worst movie in the world.
Okay.
There's a lot worse.
Yeah, so still have your opinions, but just don't force other people to believe what you believe.
For instance, if somebody says something about Star Wars Day, do not storm out of the room in a huff. Oh, wait, that's exactly what I did. Never mind.
And we got to wrap this up, but I do want to say what I thought was so refreshing just then about your performance is here you are, this young woman. You are smart. You have parents who encouraged you. You are going forth. You're in Los Angeles, and you're making an album, and you have confidence. And that is like the American dream. Am I right?
It is. And we're like, oh, look at her with her confidence. I wish I had as much confidence as you.
I'm thinking to myself, like, nobody beat you down? That's unbelievable.
Reddit does, and different platforms on the internet do. But I try to not read.
That's the way the kids knew it nowadays. You know, in the old days, your parents would tell you to just
now
fucking
it's just strangers.
Give it up and get a job. But right. Now complete strangers are like, you're crazy, you suck. Ah, I love Jesus. My head explode.
One time,
and you go, wow, really? They seem
we
to
had
have
a comedian on named Ron. It was Ron Silverman. Wait, no.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ron Zimmerman was on.
Yes.
And he talked about how he started to respond to these attacks and these critiques online until he realized that he was arguing with 9 and 10-year-olds.
Right, because he had written a comic book that did not come across. People were upset with him. And he's like, listen, you motherfucker. And then his editor is like, you know, that's a 9-year-old who's writing that they don't like exactly. What you did with a rawhide kid. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, okay.
Well, I don't think you're going to get a lot of criticism in your life, Allison Gertz. I'm so happy that you came. Really.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you for having me.
What a delight. And good luck with the album coming out.
Thank you.
And I can't wait for the new season of Arrested Development on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
And that comes May 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And now our traditional shot at the end of the thing where we mix tequila and lime juice together, and then you snort it through your nose.
Drink! All right, you guys, we're going to wrap this up. I would like to thank Jorge Reyes, our sound engineer, and also Joe Slepsky, who helps us produce the show each and every week.
Woo-hoo.
And, of course, I'd like to thank John Thomas Griffith. You know, he wrote
Never
the theme
heard of
song,
him.
Follow Me. Thank you, John Thomas Griffith. And on behalf of our storyteller, Allie Gertz, thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, thank
and
you.
I wish you the best of best of luck. Sometimes I just wish I was Allie Gertz. God damn it.
Wow.
I'd also like to thank you, Hannes, my dear friend and co-host. My name is Christine Blackburn, saying make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Story-Worthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.